Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Norm Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. So, well, we do have a caller line today. I just checked.
Oh, we got a caller?
No, we don't have a caller, but the line is open. We had a problem. We had a problem the last time.
Yeah, did they ever figure that out?
Whether they figured it out or not is not something I'm aware of. I contacted them. They said they are aware of the problem and that they'd be getting back to us, which was 6 days ago. So last night I emailed and they said, listen, every time there's a problem, we're told we're going to get a response or an answer as to why a problem occurred, and we don't. So that's where we're at.
Well, squeaky wheel gets the oil, so you got to keep...
I don't think the squeaky wheel gets the oil because I've squeaked a lot and I've not received any oil. But anyway, that's the way Block Talk Radio
lines
operates.
So
our lines are open. 914-338-0164 is the call in number. Press 1 if you'd like to speak with us.
You know, I think when people wake up in the morning, it might be wise or advisable to kind of check out what is your theme for the day. Or do you have to go to work? Do you have to go to school, get an education? Do you have to figure out some bills? Do you have to get the car fixed? Do you have to do something on the house? Do you have to do a creative project? We should all wake up in the morning, decide what our major theme is of the day, and then from there, go to the chakra in your body that best corresponds to the theme of what you're doing and start to focus on increasing the energy of that chakra. So if it's a home situation, it's one. And a job could be one or two. It could be five because of communication.
What if you're sick and you have to go to work? No matter whether you're sick or not, like you're nauseated.
Well, then you focus on work. You don't focus on being sick.
Well, don't you have to increase the energy of the third chakra?
No,
you're nauseous.
No, because the thing would be to go to work. So what you're doing is you're increasing the energy.
So you'd have to diminish
energy.
I understand.
And that would overwhelm.
Right, but diminishing. Yeah, I guess it would be diminishing the power of the chakra that you were, that the person is plagued by in terms of physical illness.
You know, Snow White said it best. You know what she said?
What's that?
Whistle while you work. Whistle while you work.
What if you've got laryngitis? Then you're really screwed.
Then you whistle out the other hole. I don't know.
Will you please?
But
jokes, God.
Yeah,
what?
It's true. Why you set me up for a joke?
I didn't set you up for that joke.
You know.
Oh my God!
The point is this. It's not the whistling. It's the energy.
I know it's the attitude. I get that.
It's the energy. And so when you are focusing on waking up in the morning, if you have something negative that's surrounding you, focus on the positive energy of what you need to do. That's how you get through it, in the best estimation. Now, it may be a little bit of a calculation and an examination as to which chakra you have to deal with. And some people just automatically will go to all seven and focus on that. you know, they wake up, they do a couple of jumping jacks, they have a breakfast, they read the paper, and have a cup of coffee, and then they start maybe going through with some things, and then they get ready for work. So that's very systematic. That's when you have a comfort level. Some people wake up, oh my God, they jump, hop in the shower, they grab two cups of sips of coffee, and they're in the car. And they're not really awake. Their chakras are still in bed. They haven't awoken.
So they're on automatic pilot.
Somewhat. So what is the best way to get a chakra going?
Well,
We do it organically. We do it organically. What is the best way to get a chakra going?
Depends on what chakra you're
No, it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean,
what is the
you
best,
know, we can get
What is the
to...
first thing we do? We do it automatically. We usually take a deeper breath and we let it out. That's what we usually do. I mean, we're built to do that. And how many of us do it? You know, you after you've kind of gone through everything, you usually take a deep breath, you let it out. Well, what is it about that procedure that we're wired to do? Some people will say you take a breath for energy, it enhances the body, it rejuvenates the body and all that. And we're wired to that. Many doctor or technician will tell you that's what you do. Take a deep breath, take a deep breath, take a deep breath. But they say usually, they don't usually say take a breath. They say take a deep breath. It got that process going.
Right, because the oxygenation of the rest of the body is required by a deep inhalation.
Yeah, but why deep?
Well, I mean, because if you're taking shallow breaths, then you're not going to distribute oxygen throughout
right.
the body.
So when we, in our world, when we go to a deep breath, we go to moving the energy within the chakra system into that depth. The chakra system is actually the depth of the body. It's our soul, which is buried deep in our body. It's there. And the breath to get to that chakra has to be a deep breath, which only get to the immediate organs. It won't get into the chakra system. And when you get that going, it starts to add more momentum and more momentum and more momentum until it finally gets going, just like a car or a fan. We've got a fan that's grumbling whenever we turn it on, and then finally through its revolutions, it starts to get speedy, up, and then it's humming like a brand new fan. It's the depth of the energy that's got to go from the bottom up, and then ignites and prompts the energy to activate. Now, how do we direct it? Well, that's simple. It's not hard. You just visualize it. Well, first of all, you've got to visualize the chakras and know what your chakras are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then you can direct it according to whatever you want it to be. And it can be simultaneous. They can be one at a time. They can be all seven. It all depends on how well you visualize the chakras and how well you control your breath to get to any particular chakra, 1 through 7 or all, or some. If you've done that, you will experience an activation in your body that will ultimately what? Ignite the mind. And once the mind is ignited, now the brain has the full capacity to control the energy of the entire body. And we have now successfully set the course for the beginning of the day. And this can be done in 15 seconds if you're good. But it might take longer if you're not so good.
Yeah, and then we have to think about people with illnesses that are such as cancer, for instance,
yeah,
a cancer in a specific organ, and then they're having effects from chemotherapy, which can involve nausea and you know, headache and whatever else they have going on in the chakra system that they're suffering from cancer in. So getting that mind to be able to be the control center over these physical ailments that are valid and real is more challenging for certain people.
Sure. We're talking about the normal functioning person. Of course, there's going to be people who can't do it. They just have all kinds of problems. And that's going to be more challenging. But today, our audience isn't composed of those people.
They're well, we don't know who it's composed to.
No,
I mean,
we're addressing the common person. When the complications of life may alter that our approach. But basically, what we're trying to do is establish what the common human being can do when they wake up in the morning, given what their particular challenges are. But yes, of course, if someone is severely challenged, this may not be applicable.
Yeah, and I mean, there are people that are just disabled, for example. This approach can help people that are, you know, maybe confined to a wheelchair or whatever it may be, but it's going to be more challenging for someone who has legitimate physical issues.
Well, with that in mind, I mean, depression can be so crippling, it's as bad as anything.
Yeah.
And if you're depressed, you don't even want to even hear these statements. You don't care. So, but those are situations that are real that take a different kind of approach. May not even talk about chakras in those situations. But for the common person, at least functional, and they are going throughout their day, and they're not in those majorly catastrophic categories.
Correct, crisis situations.
This is what we're dealing with. You know, it's interesting because once you brought that up, Kristen, if a chakra is entirely broken, if it's not working, and chakras can be broken, we can come into the world with broken chakras, obviously, then it may not do any good. You can't raise the dead in that regard. And so what you do is, yes.
Well, you have to work with the other chakra systems to compensate for the one that's not working.
That's right. So how do you compensate? If your first chakra is dead, if it's just not working, then you've got six chakras working. We all have seven chakras, but that doesn't mean they're all working. So we all have seven, but the working chakras can be limited in number.
Well, and I mean, the way that a chakra system won't work, I mean, or doesn't function, can be on different levels. Obviously, there can be more a mental level or emotional level that the chakra doesn't function and it's shut down, but there can also be a physical level. So if you're talking about a first chakra that's broken, I don't know, I mean, were you talking about someone on a colostomy bag? I mean, I don't mean to make a joke. I'm not making a joke. But as far as the first chakra being broken, there can be different scenarios relating to mental state, physical state, et cetera.
Sure.
So, I mean, determining what the problem in the chakra that caused it to be broken in the first place is important.
Well, that may be. But if you're left with a broken chakra, and it's not working, then trying to figure out how it happened.
Well,
may
I mean,
be wise.
Well, it has to be. I mean, of course, it's wise because if it's a repairable problem, then it's more likely to be in an emotional, mental category rather than a physical category.
Well,
unless there's a temporary ailment that's afflicting broken first chakra.
You know, it's. you start to use metaphors, if you buy an item from me at home and it's not working, you turn the switch on, it doesn't work, and nothing makes it work, you replace it. Get your receipt and replace it. If you turn on your electric razor and it's no longer working, it's not taking charge, it's done. It's old. You don't typically, unless you're interested in a tinker, you don't typically analyze how it happened. We can come into the world broken. We can come into the world with chakras that have been broken through past life. The challenge now in life won't be enhanced by the use of all the chakras. And that can be common too. So for those people who have had horrible past lives and have done severe damage, they don't usually come into a lifetime. And I'm talking about the Ripta case. They don't usually come into a lifetime as chakras. Completely destroyed their family. They have no friends. They couldn't hold a relationship. Everything was toxic. And this is true. That happens. And they said, what am I doing?
I mean, in that lifetime, the person didn't do anything, but in the past life.
So, what do you do with that kind of
energy? Follows.
I mean, what do you do? You can volunteer and work with people who are handicapped. It don't matter if there's friendships, you're just working hard. You can hibernate, I guess, and go into a creative world. Or, you know, whether that's art or gardening, you just tend to yourself. You are your own person. You know, when we look, well, at least when I look at homeless people, I think, my God, that could be me. Who's to say I couldn't have been homeless on the streets?
There's different categories for, I mean, I'm sure the homeless population in general fits into many different categories. Yeah. Some are homeless from the time that they're born.
I know.
Others are not. You know, it's because of some dramatic event that impacts
their life. But that's just it. Some karma elements. Some corrupts midlife. It's karmically destined, and some of it is tragically self-created. But when we get into those elements, we tend to minimize the full potential of being a human being. I mean, when people sleep on the streets and they have these tent cities, or they're just trying to find a hole to crawl in for the night and wake up, they don't wake up. They don't necessarily wake up with security. They wake up and they go, where am I going to get my meal? Where am I going to get my shelter? Where am I going to go to the bathroom? And they may have established some kind of routine under those survival modes, but some people wake up and they just don't know where. Some will say, doesn't matter. I take each day as it is, and God bless, and, you know, I just move with each moment. And when I wake up, I'll find something, and then others will just be in panic mode. But, you know, it's very hard to think those lines of waking up, not to the comfort of your kitchen and your home, but to the discomfort and insecurity of having nothing in front of you that implies
grounding,
substance and shelter and food. And some people have to drag themselves to corners and hold signs up and just say, I'm homeless. They just get down to the base chakra and go, I'm homeless, can you help me? Some people drive by and go, well, good job. It's not that easy. getting a job can be easier than sitting on a corner and being humiliated by holding a sign up and asking for money, getting a dollar or two and running over to McDonald's if they're not addicted to some drug or alcohol. But when we get into these situations, you know, we can't, as an individual, I try to do as much as I can, but we can't, one person can't solve the whole world. So you ultimately have to drive by and you can't help everybody. But at least I know on a human level, I start to wonder and question a person's existence. I drove by one guy and he got a dog. I couldn't stop because the
slow traffic wouldn't allow you to.
And there were cars behind me. But right before they turned green, this old man got a dollar and he sat there praising God. And it was obvious he was making a prayer to God and thanking God for the dollar. And I looked at him like, this guy's not, doesn't have addictions. He's just old and homeless. That's all. And he's had a bad life. He looked like he had worked in his life. But, you know, that's just where he is. As a psychic, did I think he had a family? No. I think he was alone. Totally alone, maybe perhaps a little schizophrenic, but who knows, who really cares about his mental condition? He's capable enough to be on that corner. But then you look at the chakra systems of these people, and if your third eye is active, you can just close up. And what's open in spite of the odds of their life? What still remains open? Compassion. There was one person who I saw, it was about a month ago, and a person handed them actually their hamburger from the car. They just handed it to him. And he split the hamburger in half with his dog, gave his dog half, and he took the other half. You know, that has probably more compassion. In its moment, you know, what we some of us do in a lifetime, you know, because it's easy to give when you're comfortable. It's easy to give when you're comfortable if you decide to give, but it's not so easy to give when you're wanting. But when you share, that's the thing. I mean, some of these homeless people who sometimes find money on the street and they see a wallet and they give it back to the person. That's a true human being. So we're getting to the idea of chakra systems. It's chakra systems aren't totally contingent on the condition of life. And I think we need to really take notice of how we treat our chakra systems in terms of unity to oneself and to one's human beings. But, you know, they're struggling on the street. I just think to themselves, God, every breath must be a struggle. Every breath. They don't have the comfort. As opposed to maybe somebody who just is rich and they don't have much to do and they just wake up and watch TV. What is that breath all about? So we have to think not just as humanity as being an assemblage of human beings that all have various moments of life, but an assemblage of breath. What does the breath define about the human being? And
this is where listening and scope comes into the picture. Because how does one define his or her breath? I don't think you can be heard from over there. Obviously, that's a joke.
Well, you know, it well does bring up something because people who are homeless, they have no teeth.
I know, it's true.
I remember years ago, I was at a campground, and this man was in the bathroom, and he looked all tattered, and he was brushing his teeth in front of the mirror. And people were kind of looking at him because he was obviously a dirty old guy. And he put the toothbrush down and he started to walk out. And one guy looked at him and said, "Hey, you left your toothbrush at the sink." He goes, "Oh, that's not mine. That's not mine." You know, for him, probably finding that toothbrush at the sink, and obviously a used toothbrush, was lucky for him. You know, he probably eats out of trash cans. And he thought, "Oh, good, I've got a toothbrush. I can brush my teeth." But think of that. Think of how easy some of us have it and how others have to look at life and hope that maybe some small miracle like a used toothbrush will be sitting at a sink. And then I thought to myself when he left, where does he go now?
At least he was on his way with fresh breath to wherever his he was headed. Probably better than what he started out with. It probably was no toothpaste either.
Well,
probably
I'll
just
tell you,
a toothbrush.
The story doesn't end then.
Okay.
Because wondering where he was going to go.
But wait a second, just quickly. Was there a toothpaste or just a brush that he was using?
I didn't see toothbrushes.
Yeah,
brush.
just a brush. Okay. Which can
I
be quite beneficial.
I was wondering where he was going to go. And at that time in life, I was living in a tent and was basically homeless and struggling to make ends meet. So I didn't have much myself. But out of curiosity, I left the laboratory there, the public restroom, and I saw him on the beach eating seaweed.
Oh my God.
Eating seaweed. He had found some seaweed on the beach and he was eating it. We look.
Is that the end of the story?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't anything I could
do.
I didn't have anything.
You didn't have anything to give him?
No, I didn't have anything myself. I was living in a tent with the person I was with at that time and three animals, and it was just two animals. And we were barely getting by.
Yeah, but
there was nothing to spare. It wasn't that I was able to help him. It was the point that it was one of those observations.
Yeah, but you're living in a tent, wasn't a homeless situation.
Yeah,
getting a home.
I wasn't in any position at the time to really help him. And this was just observing his existence from afar. It's kind of like when you, unfortunately, when you see a seagull that's limping and there's nothing.
I know, it's terrible.
And you approach it and it flies away, but it's limping.
Did we just see
away.
A crow
yeah.
like that recently?
I mean, sometimes you just can't do it. You just have to look at life in its stark reality. I mean, if you can help, you do. And I remember it was not too long ago that you and I were out and this obvious gang member, tough looking guy, was sitting in outside of a shop and he looked at me and he said, and it was obvious, you know, he was a gang member, and he looked at me and I wasn't intimidated or anything, but he looked at me and he said, "I need money for the bus. Do you have anything to give me?" "Oh, yeah, I'll give you." You know, I wasn't expecting that. I don't think he perceived that I was intimidated by him, because I wasn't. I just didn't ask. I just gave it to him. But a lot of people are like that, you know. A lot of people don't analyze. Like you said, they don't analyze the broken chakra. They don't analyze the broken person. Their immediate reaction
is to help.
Is to help. And that's part of the, I think, the chakra system. The first chakra system, meaning that we care about the substance of human beings. We care about their foundation. We care about their security. And then the fourth chakra, we emotionally have some sort of attachment to the situation. And the sixth chakra is the knowledge, that there's got to be some knowledge behind the emotion. A lot of people have emotion, but they keep moving on. They don't go to the highest degree of help. And then there are those people who dedicate themselves to the homeless and people who are unfortunate, animals, things like this. So when we get into the idea of how do we breathe in the morning and what kind of awareness do we have? Do we wake up in the morning and consider, how can I help somebody else? What can I do today to help someone? I mean, our radio show is about trying to help people when we get callers.
Well, I'm just going to rewind here. The content of the radio show, whether we have callers or not, is helping people because there's information for
right.
people to listen to and learn from. So whether or not we have a caller I'm just saying, no, well, you did. But anyway, it's we're helping people no matter whether they're callers or not.
Right. So what you've got to ask yourself, what do you do to help yourself and what do you do to help others? I think it's an important part of the chakra system. And of course, that includes all life. If I save a bee from drowning, I really, really feel good that I helped that bee live and I see it fly away instead of thinking in my mind that it's screaming whilst drowning and having a dismal end, that you give life to all forms of life. So I think that, and I think life is fascinating. You know, there was paper about the horny toad, that the horny toad is almost becoming extinct. And the horny toad is synonymous with Texas and stuff like that, but people don't see them anymore. And they're supposed to be quite gentle reptiles. Their defense is to squirt blood from their eyes, and it's supposed to be kind of noxious to predators. But they're really kind of gentle. People pick them up. They buy them. They're strange. And they're welcome. But getting caught
in
the winter, which kills
not good for birds.
Thousands of animals, bats, birds, a year. So there's the great battle between the climate control and wildlife. There's now a fight to save the monarch butterfly, and the government doesn't have the means and the money to do it. So
it's interesting what the government has the means and money to do and what they don't have the money.
To increase their salaries.
Yeah.
And
salaries, and exactly. And
a monarch butterfly, who cares?
All the money that's appropriated to attacking other countries. Didn't we just attack Syria?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
we can't save the monarch butterflies.
We can.
Things or not. But I think the ultimate issue is the value of life, not the destruction of life. And when we get that attitude going, so the people who are trying to save the monarch butterfly seek donations. And they hope that people will donate to their cause, because trying to get the government to do anything is a constant hard struggle. Not to say that getting donations is as well. But we can't live without the butterfly. We can't live without the bee. Civilization could collapse. Same with trees. and they say, you know, do you want to receive it? You don't. Thousands of trees die.
You should
from those
remember
damn
that.
Receipts, paper receipts.
Yeah.
But we keep them because it's a proof of purchase. But you got to remember.
I know the electronic, I mean, electronic receipts are, I mean, that saves paper.
That saves paper, but that exposes to scam mail,
well,
invasion of privacy.
I mean,
people.
You
but
know,
who cares?
We can get
if you save a tree.
Scammed. Yeah, I agree.
You know. And then the bulk of plastic bags, that's killing. You know, whenever I see those damn plastic bags in the street or straws, that goes in the ocean. That goes into a turtle's nose or a seal's throat.
Oh, I know. I mean, there's so much littering that goes on in our neighborhood. People throw
just
crap
throw
everywhere.
They throw it in the trash.
Well, they don't. They should.
I mean, they just throw it in the street.
Yeah, I know.
No
unbelievable
concern at all about they should do a movie about how one straw makes its way to the ocean and ends up killing
people. Yeah, likely the people that are guilty of littering aren't going to be the ones that watch a movie about how a straw affects a sea turtle.
And
it's
happens.
Just not going to
people are pigs.
Gonna, unfortunately, it's not going to the audience it's going to target is already aware of how their actions affect the ecosystem. Unfortunately, the ones that, I mean, hopefully you'd reach some people that were ignorant, but unlikely.
You know,
that's going to make
mindful.
A big dent in.
You know, if you see a tin can, that empty tin can on the street, pick it up and throw it in the trash. Because that tin can, a cat can get its head in there and die a gruesome death.
Yeah, I mean, a bag can cat or dog. I was just reading recently about a cat who at home, I mean, this wasn't even someone who littered, got his head stuck in a potato chip bag and suffocated. And they posted on the site, this next door, just to, you know, to educate people that this is so easy. I mean, it's so easy for a dog or a cat to die this kind of gruesome, horrible, needless death. So.
And, you know, it's all about the bottom line. For the errors that are made, it's all about we don't care. I'm talking about the people who don't care. They don't care. Even if they feel a little bit, they don't care. More concern about their own comfort level than they do about life itself. And that's the tragedy of how we start bit by bit by bit to destroy our planet and the living things on it. You have a call?
Well, I think so. It's a regular caller, but she's not raised her hand. But we'll bring her on because I'm imagining she's in the queue not just to listen. She probably just forgot. Depressed one, hi.
No, actually, I was listening because
for
whatever reason, Blog Talk's all choppy, but I don't know if it's my internet or Blog Talk. Who knows what it is?
Yeah, who knows? Little question.
Comment.
The platform is yours, dear.
So I can do a dance.
yeah, exactly.
What do you think about what we're talking about, Jennifer? What's your opinion? What's your ideas?
Well, you're talking about pollution and animals, and you were talking about homeless people before, and gratitude, and you know, you're covering every area of human existence. So.
At least some of them.
A lot of them. The chakras, I find the chakras really interesting. I don't know. I know when I took my healing class, I learned a lot about the chakras. You know, you got to clean them. You got to do this. You got to do that. But I think, you know, ultimately, we got to set an intention, you know. Just going through and thinking, it's about changing people's mind space. It's about thinking of someone other than yourself. But how do people get to that point? I don't know. They have to want to, right? Neil, I'm sure you have an opinion.
Well, I Yeah, I think there's got to be a concern and a want and a desire, and then ultimately an action. You know, I think chakras have a level of intelligence to them. And so the more advanced chakras are active in all areas. And those are the people that inspire us, that educate us, that move out of their comfort zone to make changes in life. I think those are the most admirable people that we have on the planet that really care. And so when I look at people, I can perceive an advanced chakra system. It's just in the energy field of what I look at, but it's like looking at a dim light or a bright light. And sometimes there's a hue to it, a color that suggests the advancement of the energy itself, from anywhere from gray to purple to white to red. So, you know, when you look at these chakra systems, I mean, we're doing this. It's not hand. It's perspective. But we can't take it out of the body and look at it and give it a definition or a level of energy by measuring it. We have to perceive it by first the attitude of the sixth chakra, which is the attitude of the mind itself. So if our mind moves into that area and we're active area, we can perceive the way that people move through the planet and to what degree. I mean, that's what I think.
That's probably about the intention. See, I see, and I've heard about, you know, people using the mask thing as activism. But I'm thinking that activism is so much deeper than whether or not someone's wearing a mask. It's about changing how people are perceiving themselves. I don't know. Hard for me to say. I can't verbalize it very well, but.
Well, I mean,
I know that.
What do you mean?
People walking into stores and saying, I'm not going to wear a mask. You can't make me wear a mask, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, but is that equated with not caring about one's fellow man, woman?
Mm, not or necessarily, because in their mind, the mask is useless, right? So in their mind, it's not a disregard for other people, because their belief system is it's useless. So, but it's about them taking a step forward to try and make a change. But I think that way of going about it isn't the right way, because it's basically being targeted at, you know, small business owners, you know, people who make minimum wage working in a shop. It's not the right way to go about it.
Yeah.
When I'm thinking about activism. So basically, I think I'm just thinking about how people can participate and make change. Like, I know you guys are always, you know, promoting stuff on your website for animals and that sort of thing, which is a better way to do that sort of thing, because, you know, you'll get someone who's interested in helping, but you're not trying to ruin a minimum wage shop owner's day or a small business person's livelihood.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult because the whole mask issue that you're bringing up, are the masks effective, and does snubbing the rules make a real change, or is there something more a person can do in terms of getting out there and rather than affect small businesses by refusing to wear a mask and creating disruption in an environment that, you know, where people clearly depend on their jobs and face closure because people aren't complying with the rules. there's something more that can be done as far as activism than not wearing a mask or refusing to. I'm not sure in Canada what the rules are as far as
we're twice as bad as you. So we're twice as strict as the U.S.
Really? I mean, California is pretty bad. And I know that it's different according to the region that you're in the United States. So I think Texas, I recently heard that Texas is allowing indoor dining. I can't remember which state it was.
South Dakota didn't close down anything.
Okay. So, I mean, it varies. I know here it's like you've got to wear a mask everywhere you go or you're not going to be allowed in. They can refuse service.
Right.
I think there's a better way than just thumbing your nose at the rules. However, I mean, this gets into a totally different topic.
You know. It has nothing to do with chakras, but.
Well, I mean, it does in some regard, but yeah, it's just a different topic, and that's
what we're talking about. Consciousness of preserving the human race,
right? But
and being responsible and getting out of our comfort zone, our lone state existence, mentioning Texas. That, you know, it's not about that we're rugged Marlboro men and women doing our own thing, but that we have to be conscious. I mean, I think it extends to even cigarette smoking and secondhand smoke. You know, people who have polluting cars who don't care because, you know, they love their pickup truck and they don't care about polluting the earth. You've got to put your head first in the space. Do you care about the planet?
Yeah.
Do you care about your fellow human beings? And that's where it starts. And if you don't care, then you're going to be
maybe
rugged
so,
individualism,
but,
which
but,
I'm
but,
all for, but not to the cost
who,
of somebody else's
sorry,
existence.
Sorry, who says that a mask, I mean, now we're getting into a mask debate, but who says that a mask is really preserving anyone's existence? I mean, we can rely on studies that are done. Who knows about the legitimacy of those studies? And two, I mean, so those are not well-founded in fact, in my estimation. Furthermore, if a person is wearing a mask, it has to be worn properly. How does a surgical mask worn 8 hours a day protect anyone against a virus that supposedly now jumps 6 feet, you know, to infect someone else? I just personally don't believe it. I also know someone who got a severe lung infection with, I mean, starting with the first symptom was major bleeding of the lungs. This person never experienced that before in her life. And it was several episodes of hemoptysis, which is bleeding of the lungs, and, you know, not just coughing up blood with sputum. We're talking about just blood spraying out of the mouth because the lungs were so infected. And who's to say that, and it wasn't COVID, who's to say that it wasn't because of wearing masks? So good. How well a mask protects someone.
Yeah,
and I think it can be harmful, actually,
about
to the wearer.
About a year ago, you know, the face shields came out. So I thought, oh, great, I'm going to wear a face shield because they were saying you can even wear a face shield. So I wore this face shield, not wearing a mask. I wore this face shield thing, and this is terrific.
Oh, that one.
And I went out,
that
and
small
almost
face
got
shield.
Mobbed by a swarm of people saying, what are you, an idiot? That doesn't work. Your breath is going under it. And I had to race to the car to escape being attacked, you know, but I didn't know. But
yeah, because the breath escapes out of the side, supposedly. Sorry. I mean, but, you know,
but
someone's wearing a surgical mask or a cloth mask. Who's to say that really works anyway? And then people start policing one another. I mean, it's just, to me, ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous, because we know that people use and reuse masks. And if you use and reuse masks, those masks are not going to be effective at all if the masks were effective in the first place. Who knows?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Anyway.
You know, it's tragic because people use these masks for protection, but you know how many masks I've seen sitting on the street
right.
that people just discard because they're no longer usable? I mean, what is wrong with people that they contradict the very premise of protection? And then they throw their mask on the street. I don't get it. But, you know, I think responsibility, Jennifer, starts from one chakra to the seventh. We've got to be responsible for everything we do on this planet. Life is not leisurely. It's a concerning subject matter from the day we wake up to the day we go to bed. And we've got to be considerate of that, that we don't go to bed thinking we help to destroy something instead of building it. So, you know, I mean, if the premise is to help and enhance life and detect life, I think the best policy is to do what you're expected to do.
Well, I don't know if I agree
but there
with
may
that.
Be, you know, there may be controversy.
I don't know if
that.
I agree with that. I mean, personally, as far as mask wearing is concerned, of course, I wear a mask in public because it's required. However, I found myself avoiding public spaces as much as possible so I don't have to be subjected to that rule, which I think is ridiculous. You cannot mandate mask wearing and then be able to police each person to wear the mask properly that they're supposed to wear. So, I mean, it's fruitless. There's no point.
So you're saying it's strict in Canada?
I stopped going outside, basically. I don't go anywhere anymore.
Yeah.
It's all just become so ridiculous to me.
Oh, I know. And people confront each other about, you know, if mask drops below the nose. I have not been personally attacked, but I have a hard time because of the size of my face finding a mask that fits well, unless it's a cloth mask that I can really tie tightly around my head. But that restricts breathing. I mean, how healthy can restricting breathing be? It's not healthy. We're supposed to be able to breathe. So.
Yeah, it's terrible. But hopefully, you know, this is all going to be behind us because, you know, supposedly the vaccines are going to be distributed by the end of May, at least in the United States.
And then we start a new wave of death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vaccine, I will not be taking, that's for sure.
Me neither.
Yeah. So anyway. Well, we kind of...
I appreciate you calling, Jennifer. And
got off on a side
show
topic.
Making some contribution. We always appreciate that.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Okay. I think we're at the end of the show.
We've got a minute left or so.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully in the archive, people will pick up on some of this. You're welcome to call back and give your comments, and so we wish everybody well, and be mindful of your own space and others as well, and don't put a blindfold on to life. You can put a mask on.
Apparently that's
on. Thank God we don't have to wear a blindfold when we go out.
Who knows what's coming? Yeah, exactly. We're back on the air on Friday at our regular time, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. And hope everyone has a great couple of days until then. Bye-bye.